I'm going to have a special announcement for pastors about a church history tour at the end of this episode. So if that applies to you, you want to take note. Now picture this. A short, frail man with wild red beard stands in the town square. Angry priests are charging at him with clubs hidden under their robes. Someone fires a gun at point-blank range, and the weapon explodes in the shooter's hand. The red-bearded man doesn't even flinch. He looks his would-be assassin in the eye and he says, "I'm not afraid of your shots." This is William Farrell, the man that Martin Luther called fearless, the man his own allies called reckless, and the man who literally demolished his way through the Reformation. Today, we're diving into the wild story of history's most controversial Protestant pioneer. Now, if this was the UFC, Farrell would be the Reformation's ultimate fighter. Before we get started, I want to encourage you to hit that subscribe button and ring the bell notification, because if you love history's forgotten rebels and religious revolutionaries, you're in the right place. William Farrell wasn't the most famous of the reformers. That title probably goes to Martin Luther or John Calvin. He wasn't the most brilliant theologian of the era. He wasn't even officially ordained as a minister. But here's what he was. He was the battering ram of the Reformation in French-speaking Switzerland. While others debated theology in universities, Farrell, he was in the streets, smashing idols, shouting down priests, and getting chased out of cities by angry mobs. They called him the Elijah of the French Reformation. They also called him the Scourge of Priests. And trust me, both nicknames were well earned. William Farrell was born in 1489 in Gap. No, not the clothing store. Gap was a little village in the French Alps. He was the eldest of seven children of a noble but poor family. Here's the twist. The young William was actually more Catholic than the Pope. He later said that he was, quote, more popish than the Pope, unquote. He went on pilgrimages to worship supposed pieces of the true cross. He bowed before monks and priests. He venerated relics and images. If you'd met the teenage Farrell, you'd never guess that he would become the guy who one day would call the Pope the Antichrist and demand all religious statues be destroyed. So what changed him? Well, in a word, education. His parents sent him to the University of Paris, and that's where everything shifted for him. His main professor was Jacques Lefebvre, a pioneer of reform who was translating the Bible into French. Now, Lefebvre did something radical. He actually let his students read the Bible for themselves. He introduced Farrell to the Apostle Paul's letters and the doctrine of justification by faith. In 1512, Lefebvre told the young student something that turned out to be prophetic. He said, quote, "My son, God will renew the world and you will witness it," unquote. And witness it, he did. As Farrell dove into Scripture, his mind was blown. Where was the Pope in the New Testament? Where were indulgences or purgatory? The worship of Mary and the saints, the elaborate church hierarchy of his day. The more he read, the more he realized that most of what he'd been taught was missing from the Bible. When Farrell converted to Protestantism, he didn't do it halfway. He went full radical. While his teacher Lefebvre wanted to reform the Catholic Church from within, Farrell wanted to tear the whole thing down and start over again. He became an itinerant evangelist, always moving, always preaching, always causing trouble. His preaching style was, let's just call it intense. He didn't write out sermons with three points that all started with the same letter. No carefully crafted manuscripts for Farrell. He just got up and let it rip. His contemporaries talked about, quote, the thunder of his eloquence, unquote. When Farrell preached, you felt it. His gestures commanded attention. His voice produced conviction. Now, unfortunately, none of his sermons were ever written down, so we only have secondhand accounts. But clearly, the man knew how to work a crowd. Here's the thing, though. Farrell's greatest strength was also his fatal flaw. He had zero chill, none. He called things exactly as he saw them, and he didn't care whose feelings got hurt. He lacked tact, moderation, discretion. Even other Reformation leaders were like, dude, tone it down. One leader wrote to him, quote, "Your mission is to evangelize, not curse. Prove yourself to be an evangelist, not a tyrannical legislator. Men want to be led, not driven," unquote. Even Ulrich Zwingli, the leader of the Swiss Reformation, who we looked at in a previous episode, he told Farrell shortly before his death, "Stop being so rash." But Farrell, I guess he couldn't help himself. He saw himself as a prophet called by God to tear down idolatry. And I mean that literally. He advocated destroying Catholic statues, images, and relics. He called the Pope Antichrist. He verbally attacked priests with the spiritual sword, as he called it, a scripture, while they sometimes literally carried firearms and clubs under their robes to oppose him. Now think of it this way. If the Reformation were a construction project, Farrell, he was the demolition crew. His job wasn't to build a new church, it was to clear away the old one. And he was really good at demolition. Farrell's radical approach meant he was constantly getting kicked out of places. It became kind of his thing. He got banned from preaching, and so he went back to his hometown to share his new faith, and his own neighbors ended up driving him away. France became too dangerous as persecution ramped up there, and so he fled to Basel, Switzerland. In Basel, things looked promising at first. He held public debates, made some converts, his popularity grew. But then his bombastic style got him in trouble yet again. The famous scholar Erasmus actually convinced the town council to brand Farrell, quote, "a disturber of the peace," unquote, and kicked him out. Disturber of the peace. I mean, they weren't wrong. For years, Farrell, he bounced from city to city as an itinerant preacher. He would show up, start preaching, cause chaos, and either get kicked out or barely escape with his life. It was exhausting just being William Farrell. But then came Geneva, and Geneva was the big one for Farrell's career. He first arrived in October of 1532. The day after he got there, some Protestant citizens came to visit him. He pulled out his Bible, started explaining Protestant theology to them. He figured that they would be excited. They were Protestants, after all, right? Nope. No, they freaked out and demanded that he leave immediately. But remember, Farrell doesn't do backing down. He refused to leave. He said, "I'm not here to cause trouble. I'm just here to preach truth, and I'm ready to die for it." He even showed them letters of recommendation from other Reformation leaders, which rather impressed them. But the Catholic clergy that was in town, they started to harass him, which actually helped his cause with the Protestants. The Catholics got so angry that the whole city was on edge. So the city council ordered him to leave. He barely escaped. Priests chased him with clubs. People spat on him. He left Geneva covered in spit and bruises, with some Protestant supporters helping him escape across Lake Geneva. But here's the thing about Farrell. Persecution didn't discourage him. It kind of energized him. Opposition just made him want to fight even harder, and so he came back. With protection from the city of Bern, he returned and challenged the Catholics to a public debate in January of 1534. His opposition was a guy by the name of Guy Ferbity, a Dominican doctor of theology who had been brought in specifically to crush the Protestants. The debate lasted several days in front of both city councils. Farrell couldn't answer all of Ferbity's technical objections, but he nailed the main point. Christ is the only head of the church, and the church has no right to impose rules that aren't in Scripture. Now, the kicker was this. Ferbity finally admitted, quote, "What I preach, I cannot prove from the Bible. I've learned it from the Summa of St. Thomas," meaning Thomas Aquinas. So, boom, debate over. Now, after that debate, things moved rather quickly. More and more people in Geneva embraced Reformation ideas. Priests, monks, nuns started leaving the city. The bishop moved his headquarters elsewhere. On August 27th of 1535, the Geneva Council issued an edict officially establishing the Reformation. The Mass was abolished, images and relics were removed from churches, citizens pledged to live according to the gospel. They even established a school and enforced strict discipline there, including telling brides what they could and couldn't wear. This was Farrell's moment of triumph. He'd torn down the old system. Geneva was now Protestant. He'd won. But here's where the story, I think, gets really interesting, and where we see Farrell's finest quality. In the summer of 1536, a young scholar named John Calvin passed through Geneva. He was planning on spending just one night. But Farrell heard he was in town, tracked him down, and basically told him, God wants you here. And if you don't stay and help with this building of the church, God will curse your studies. Talk about pressure. Calvin stayed. And here's the beautiful part. Farrell, who was 20 years older than John Calvin, who had fought for years to bring the Reformation to Geneva, this was his victory. But he recognized that Calvin had the theological genius to actually build in the place of what Farrell had torn down. So Farrell, this proud, bombastic, thundering preacher, willingly took a subordinate position to the younger man. He knew his role. He was the demolition crew. Calvin, he was the architect of something new. William Farrell and John Calvin were both eventually kicked out of Geneva when their reforms were deemed too strict. Calvin then went to Strasbourg, while Farrell became the pastor at Neuchâtel, where he had been before. He spent the last 27 years of his life there, faithfully serving one congregation. The man who had spent years being a one-man wrecking crew, getting chased out of cities, debating theologians, smashing idols, he ended his days as a humble parish pastor. So, what's Farrell's legacy? He wasn't the best theologian. He wasn't the most tactful leader. He wasn't even officially ordained. But he was exactly what the Reformation needed at that moment in history. A fearless pioneer, willing to break through barriers, endure persecution, and clear the way for others to build on. Without William Farrell, there might have been no Protestant Geneva. Without Protestant Geneva, John Calvin might never have had his platform, and without Calvin's Geneva, the Reformed tradition might look completely different today. Sometimes God uses a battering ram. Sometimes he uses a demolition crew. William Farrell was willing to be that rough tool in God's hands. And he was okay with decreasing so that others, like Calvin, could increase. So that's the wild story of William Farrell, the radical, the rebel, and the reformer who helped change history. Okay, here's an announcement for pastors. Christian Expedition is doing a pastor's familiarization church history tour. Begins in the Czech Republic, moves to Germany, and then Switzerland in January 27th through February 6th of 2026. Some of the places that we'll see are Prague, Leipzig, Wittenberg, Worms, Zurich, Geneva, and others. I'm blessed to be the teaching pastor on what's sure to be a great time. But here's the thing. If you want to go, you need to sign up now, since the last date to do so is rapidly approaching. If you're not a pastor, but you think that your pastor might be interested, let him know. A link to the website with more information and to register is in the description below.